It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 podcast.
This might be college football heaven.
The school, as we begin winding things down, and we appreciate all of you being here. It is time to go to Arkansas. Dylan Stewart joins us from the Arkansas Traveler. He covers the team out there. Dylan, first of all, it's great to have you with us on this Friday afternoon. Thanks for holding off on the weekend and just long enough to talk to us.
It is an honor to be on the program. I really appreciate it. I love that y'all do this.
Well, thank you very, very much. I understand you come from the Dallas area. So tell us little bit about yourself and what prompted you to leave the great state of Texas for Arkansas.
Well, I used to always come up to Arkansas with my dad on vacation because we have family up here. And I just fell in love with Arkansas. And of course, growing up, I had known that I wanted to cover sports. Originally, it was boxing. But then switched over to sports like football, basketball, and things like that. And no better place than Arkansas.
So you're a young student journalist. Of course, that's an oxymoron. You're a student journalist. I'm correcting myself. But interested you in this field, and ultimately what and where does it go?
Well, originally, I wanted to be a professional boxer. Wasn't quite tough enough for that. Wasn't quite tough enough for that, but I had always loved writing. So I just put the two passions together, started a blog, and started writing about boxing. And then eventually that progressed into writing about basketball and baseball once I got here to Arkansas.
So how far did you go in your boxing career?
Not too far. Probably three sparring sessions, and I decided that I wasn't quite tough enough. Not mean enough either.
Yeah, I would imagine.
I'm a bit of a sweetheart.
Getting your head beat in probably would encourage you to go do something else. I'm glad you. Where are you in school, and what would you like to do when it's all over?
Right now, I am a senior. I'm going to graduate in spring 24. And my primary goal is to just find a job in sports journalism, of course. It's a shrinking field, apparently. Yes. But I would love to either return to the Dallas area to cover sports there, or to stay in Arkansas and cover sports, because I am in love with the Razorbacks.
Well, that's where we go next. Dylan Stewart with us from the Arkansas Traveler. Dylan, this is a really interesting season for Sam Pittman. He's got some of the best players in the league, in the country, at the skill positions of running back and quarterback. People are not really sure which way the Razorbacks go this year. Give us your overview of what it looks like heading into the opening weekend in 2 weeks.
Well, to start, in the SEC, there is a revolving door of quarterbacks. Of course, with Alabama, with Georgia, Missouri, and Ole Miss, and so on. The big benefit that Arkansas has this year, this season, is how comfortable KJ Jefferson is going to be returning to the program after opting out of the 2023 draft. This is his fifth season at Arkansas. And he took a massive step up in this last season, of course, matching his passing yardage, 2,600, and 24 touchdowns. He ran a lot more last year as well. He's looked great in camp. He's looked comfortable. and the chemistry with the team has just been phenomenal. I can say that KJ has been very focused, and you can tell that he is very motivated going into this season. In his words, he wants to finish what he started. And of course, he wants to increase his chances on draft day come 2024.
As far as where the projections are, with a schedule like Arkansas, it's always a little bit hard to land on a high number. Everyone knows the SEC West. But the schedule, to me, doesn't look backbreaking, especially early on. How do you frame the season, especially we got Western Carolina, Kent State, BYU, and then at LSU, A&M, that's just always a weird game for the Razorbacks, and then at Ole Miss. I mean, there's a lot of landmines in that first 6 weeks, mm-hmm. and then it's at Alabama, Mississippi State, at Florida, Auburn, Florida International, and Missouri. Take us through the season.
Yeah, so the middle of this season is going to be the most important part and the most dangerous part too, in my opinion. It can be a bit difficult to see the team getting above 9-4. That is probably what I would place them at. But I think the middle of that season, particularly with the away games, starting after the Southwest Classic with Texas A&M, I think it's going to be very difficult, especially on the road, for the Razorbacks to keep that momentum. But if they can keep that momentum, I think that this could be the season that Sam Pittman has been looking for to step into a more consistent contending role with the program.
So, Dylan, it's never easy for a reporter to go out on a limb. You don't want to make enemies, but you don't seem like the kind of guy that's overly concerned. After all, you can box. So give us a prediction here. What's it look like?
I would say, honestly, I would say 9-4. That would be my pick. I would say 9-4. I think it's going to be very similar to the past few seasons. I could see some slight improvement as well, but the only thing that really worries me is us losing all four of our receivers over this past season. And we do have some great transfers, but there are a lot of changes to the offense, particularly with the offensive coordinator position too, with Dan Enos returning.
It's certainly a big move. Dylan Stewart from the Arkansas Traveler. Dylan, hope to meet you throughout the year. All the best, and we really appreciate you coming on here today. So cool to talk to these reporters around the SEC. We'll take a short break here. One more to go. We'll go to Alabama in the final hour. We're back with much more right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free. No insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Feeling good on a Friday afternoon. You pick up the phone, and it's Augie. Good afternoon.
It's Augie. Paul, I've got to tell you, you know, I was not impressed with Jeff and a lot of his calls. Same old thing, but he had a really good call today, so I'm going to call Jeff out for a good call. He's right. Some of these new callers, and I think I'm transitioning from new to not so new, let's say, but some of these people they're insufferable. And he's right. They call every day. Their calls are the same, inane comments. And when they don't have anything to say in order to score points with the masses, they just bring up Jim and how horrible he is. It's like they default to Jim.
Well, you know what that guy Doug in Tulsa has made me yearn for? He's made me miss Dustin in Tulsa.
I, you know, to tell you the truth, I'm not sure who's who, but I'm like, I thought Dustin.
No, Dustin made a point usually. This guy just rambles.
Yeah. I think Doug is getting people confused with Dustin, so Dustin needs to go on a campaign to make everybody aware that it's not the same guy, and they're both from the state of Oklahoma and Tulsa, right?
Right. Same town.
I mean, without these two guys calling in your show, when's the last time you ever thought of Tulsa? That's your answer.
Maybe never.
Maybe. Or, you know, I watch a show on the A&E Network, First 48, where they investigate murders.
Yeah.
Tulsa is one of the featured police departments, leads me to believe, stay out of Tulsa.
Well, I mean, that famous country song from a million years ago, Tulsa Time.
That's right. I forgot about
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever. I've been to Norman. I've been to Stillwater. I've been to Oak City. I don't know if I've ever been to Tulsa.
I've been to the state of Oklahoma one time, and that was because we were, I think, in Wichita Falls, Texas. Oklahoma was just maybe 20 miles away, and let's just drive to Oklahoma so I could say I've been there. So. Maybe with OU in the conference, that would be a great atmosphere, LSU at Oklahoma, wouldn't it?
I think that would be great, absolutely.
Well, I can't ever remember that ever happening. I don't think it's ever happened, and I don't think Oklahoma has ever played in Baton Rouge over the years. So,
I mean, the only time I remember them playing was a couple of years ago in the semifinals.
Yeah, they played, you know, for the national championship, remember? That's
right.
That's when the big Swagoo intercepted the pass.
I've seen that one a few times.
His first natty. Never had Oklahoma inside Tiger Stadium. I think that would be a great
Going to happen soon.
Or Texas. I don't think Texas has ever shown up in Baton Rouge.
No, didn't they play a two-game set recently? LSU played at Austin. Did that game get returned or not?
I think it did. It happening. And did it?
I'm pretty sure it did.
And that wasn't that long ago. So, you know, I chalked that up to long-term COVID. I'm losing my memory.
Maybe that wasn't COVID. I don't know. I remember that game was – the game in Austin was huge. Okay, by the way, it was not – it did get canceled for COVID. You're right.
That's what I thought.
You're right.
Because it went to that all-SEC schedule for that year. But I-Man made a good point yesterday, Paul. We're coming up on the football season. That means Friday shows. That means all the reporters in all their hotel rooms looking into their computer and describing what the game is going to be. That has got to be one of the worst shows of the year. But, hey, I know you got to do it. It's corporate policy, right?
I'm not sure I heard that question.
Okay. But anyway, as far as – your last college reporter thinking Arkansas is going to win 9 games. I mean, hey, he's a good, loyal beat reporter. But do you see 9 game wins in their future for next year?
No, I do not.
I think 8 would be great. It's more like 7. as far as I can see. But going back to all the Alabama callers, there is still a natural default to Alabama being one of the top two, three teams in the conference. And rightly so. I think so. Do you not believe that's...
No, I believe that. I believe that's 100% true. And according to the AP poll, that's exactly how it falls, Alabama being the second pick in the SEC. We'll continue, and Carl is in Georgia. Hello, Carl.
Thanks, Mr. Paul, for taking my call.
Thank you.
Happy Friday. I just got two or three things for you there. Like I told your call screener, anybody that overlooks Alabama and Nick Saban coming up this year is a fool just because of what he's done. And secondly, you had a caller earlier that were trash-talking your Bama callers. I think they do a great job of representing their school. And my final comment is Alabama lost to two teams last year, LSU and Tennessee. I think they should be doing plenty of drinking this year because Nick's coming for them. Thank you, Paul.
Thank you. Keith is up next. So hello, Keith.
How are you doing today?
Well,
thank you for taking my call.
Thank you.
Now, what I wanted to ask, I mean, just asking, you know, everybody, I'm a big Alabama fan. Everybody said Alabama ain't got a quarterback. I just remembered a few years back when Joe Burrow's played for LSU, and they said LSU didn't have a quarterback when Joe Burrow's there, and they won a national championship. And then a few years behind that, there was a player called Cam Newton that come to the University of Auburn, and they said they didn't have no quarterback. And both of them quarterbacks went undefeated and won national championships. I'm not saying Alabama's going to win no national championship. I'm just saying.
So, yeah, they both also won the Heisman. Everything you said is correct. I'm not sure how it relates or connects to Alabama.
No, I'm just saying what I'm saying is Alabama's got a, you know, we ain't got a quarterback, but I mean, we might have a quarterback. You know, there's always a sleeper in every crowd.
Well, yeah, you might, and you also might not.
Yeah, I agree with you on that too.
Alabama has probably 10 players who will be drafted next year, three probably in the first round. So that's the reason why there is confidence. But Georgia has the same thing. LSU has a lot of players. We're not talking about having a good season. We're talking about can Alabama get back to where it has been without a quarterback. And you know, the thing about Cam Newton, everyone knew he was good. He had already been to Florida. He had already won a national championship in junior college. As far as Joe Burrow, he had a really good, somewhat uneven first season at LSU, but there were high expectations. So he was expected to make a difference. Is there anybody on Alabama's quarterback room that's expected to make a difference? Is there anybody ranked in the top 30 or 40 nationally in quarterback? I mean, that's why people are wondering about the quarterback decision. You can always make a case for somebody turning into something, but it rarely happens. Bogey is up next. Good afternoon.
Hey, good afternoon, Paul. I hear all this bickering between old and some that want to think they're kind of old and new callers. And if you don't remember the Paul Feinbaum, Tommy Charles feud, you're not really an old caller. You're not a veteran. But I had a question for you. I was talking with some truly old listeners recently, and this came up, and we couldn't resolve it. Was the debut of Phyllis, do you remember a guy named Jersey Red?
Oh, absolutely. Of course.
You had him as a guest a couple of times. Big Patino guy. And he was on your show just blasting Gene Stallings. And somebody called in defending him and got their mom on the phone. Was that Phyllis?
Yeah, you know, in fact, when Phyllis passed away, we had Bob Lockamy on the show. And he told that story, and I could not remember it. So we had Jersey Red was a guy who a pretty famous talk show caller who was part of Patino's posse. And Christopher, Phyllis's son, I think, called in to blast him because he had criticized Gene Stallings. And I believe that this guy was trashing her son, Christopher, and then Phyllis got on the phone, and the rest we all know about.
Yeah, and they were both on the phone at the same time. I think he said, "Mama, get on the phone."
Right.
Actually,
exactly.
She
literally finished this guy off. She ended Jersey Red's career.
I've never heard of him since then, and that's the honest truth. I'm glad she did, and God bless her soul. And one other great moment, if I can take one more second, one that always made me laugh was the investigative Shane from Centerpoint.
Oh, yeah.
With information on another program, calling the NCAA offices, apparently gets transferred two or three times, telling them he has information he wants to turn in. And finally somebody says, "And who are you with?" He goes, "The Paul Feinbaum Network." That was absolutely classic.
Buggy, I told that story at Shane's funeral, and I mean, funerals are supposed to be solemn affairs, but that did bring the house down. He calls up, and he finally gets an NCAA investigator on the phone, and he said, "Like, who is this?" And he said, "This is Shane from the Feinbaum Show. I've got information."
And I bet he didn't blink.
"That will put Auburn, give Auburn, you know, force Auburn to get the death penalty."
I bet he didn't hesitate a second when they asked that question.
He did the same thing one day with Nick Saban. We were at the Winfrey during media days, and Saban came by our show on Radio Row. And, you know, he's got that entourage, but Shane was hanging out with us. So Nick Saban sits down, not really interested in small talk, as you can imagine. And Shane walks over and says, "Coach, I'm Shane from the Feinbaum Show." And I mean, Saban looked at him like, how did this guy get through security?
Miss both of those people, miss their calls. And we wish they were with us. Paul, you have a great weekend.
Hey,
thanks,
Bogey.
That the show has been left to the Augies of the world. You have a great one.
True. And the ACs.
Mr. Feinbaum, how are you feeling? Thanks so
okay.
much for taking my call. Hey, I have a quick question for you. So who do you think will be the most disappointing and surprising team this upcoming season? And Mr. Feinbaum, AC is officially back. I love you, Mr. Feinbaum.
Miss Pat is up next.
Hello, Paul. I'm sorry, I was listening to AC. You know, I live in a very small town in southeast Georgia. I just want you to know how famous you are. You know, I told you about the man in my Sunday school class who now calls me Miss Pat because he listens to your show. Well, I was at a meeting last night, and this older gentleman came in and says, "Miss Pat, have you called the Paul Feinbaum Show this week?" And I said, "Darn." And he's a Gator. So
oh, that's
you're
hilarious.
Very famous here. I know. I was blown away. Anyway, I wanted to tell you a couple of things. First of all, I just got home from the Mermaid Happy Hour, so I'm very happy. But I know. And I have poker this weekend at my house tomorrow.
Well, that's you've inspired me, Pat. I mean, you have mastered your age better than anyone I know. Pat, thanks so much. We head to the break. We have a very interesting guest coming up here. Get a little bit away from the main fair. Remember, was it 2 weeks ago or 3 weeks ago when Florida State's Board of Trustees meeting broke out into quite a session that ended up creating national attention? Drew Weatherford played quarterback at FSU, great quarterback, by the way. And he's now on the board down there, and he'll give us the latest.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Feeling like you need a marketing degree and an extra day in your week to successfully market your small business? Let Constant Contact do the heavy lifting for you. Constant Contact's award-winning marketing platform has powerful tools that make it easy to grow your audience, engage your customers, and sell more to boost your business. Now, in just a few clicks, you can launch a marketing campaign that's tailored to your business and goals. That includes email, social, SMS, and more. So you can sell more, raise more, and fast-track your business growth. Plus, you can always count on Constant Contact's award-winning customer support for guidance along the way. So get going and start growing your business today with a free trial at ConstantContact.com. Constant Contact, helping the small stand tall.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
There's still a lot of speculation about what is going on with the ACC and in particular Florida State. You may remember that board meeting a couple of weeks ago that drew so much attention. And then what would Florida State do? One of the speakers at that board meeting was Drew Weatherford, the former FSU quarterback who now serves on that board, and he is nice enough to join us now. Drew, first of all, thank you very much. We really appreciate you coming on board.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm shocked that you'd have an ACC guy on the show, but I'm grateful to be here.
Well, we're quite interested in what's going on down there, and I ask you so much confusion really about what happened and what happens next. You obviously played a big role down there. You were there. Can you explain why that happened on that day, and in particular, you know, what does it mean?
Yeah. Well, again, thanks for having me. And ultimately, the situation is pretty clear from our standpoint. I got appointed to the board about 2 years ago at Florida State by the governor here in Florida, and so it's first of all an honor to be on the board and be able to give back in this way. But we as a board started really digging in and paying really close attention to the future of our conference and, frankly, the future of our ability to be competitive. And it's really just a math problem, Paul, as I think you are well aware of. If we stay in our conference for the next 13 years, there's going to be more than $500 million delta between us and every SEC school. And that's a big number, right? That's $500 million that, you know, we're going to have to ultimately raise to keep up from a facility standpoint. That's $500 million that gets left. And frankly, people that we have to compete for national championships against having their donors' pockets that ultimately will end up being redirected to collectives potentially. And so we ultimately would love to stay in the ACC. And I want to make that clear. It would be great if we could remain in the ACC and have a media contract that was competitive and allowed us to compete on a level playing field as the Big Ten and the SEC. But that is just not the case with the way things are structured today. And so we are unapologetically looking at every option that we have and are ultimately just trying to look out for the best interest of our university and our student athletes.
Drew Weatherford joining us talking about the situation in Tallahassee. Drew, that's a lot of money, as you said, and the ACC has this long-term deal with obviously ESPN that was signed off on. And it was a different time, though. It wasn't all that long ago, but things have changed so much. So deadlines are coming and going. People are waiting to hear. And I realize you're part of the board, and the board, in theory, would speak as a group. But what is next for your journey here to try to solve this rather difficult problem?
Yeah, I think the journey didn't start during that board meeting. There's been a tremendous amount of work done by our entire board and the entire staff, being led by our chairman of the Board of Trustees, Peter Collins, to really explore all options that we have on the table. We are well aware of the contract that we signed in 2016. We're well aware of, you know, when that legal contract comes up. Obviously, the grant of rights issue makes things very complicated. But I think we're determined to put our university in the best position to win long term. And so, the August 15th date that we needed to notify the ACC if we were staying or leaving has come and gone. But we're still on a pursuit to either help the ACC, you know, find a way to get on a level playing field or go find a new home and be able to compete for championships long term. The question that I asked to our board, actually at the beginning of this conversation that we had, was a very simple one, and I do mean it. If, you know, do we want to play games or do we want to compete for championships? And we don't have to look that far into the past to realize that the now Big Ten and SEC have won 20 of 25 national championships in the last 25 years. The bulk of those national championships were won before NIL, and arguably money was important then, but not as important as it'll be in the future. And so we're just looking out into the next 25 years. And if we want to compete for championships, we have to find a way to generate more revenue. And as you know, the biggest revenue generator for the vast majority of all athletic programs is their TV contract and their conference distributions. So that's where we are. We do not have an answer for you today, but we are very well studied on the agreement that we signed, about the options that are out there, about the options that aren't out there. And we'll continue to pursue what's in the best interest of our university.
Drew, I was watching, as everyone, a couple of months ago, and it looked like you had some company here and being unhappy with the way things stood. And then after your board meeting, I got the impression, perhaps incorrectly, that everyone else was looking at Florida State as how could they possibly do this. What was the reaction of your friends and colleagues down there to some of the snarkiness from elsewhere, with a group of schools that I thought were all in concert with you?
Frankly, from the FSU and kind of Seminole Nation, everyone, I think, gets the way this plays out if we don't figure something out. And I'll go as far to say we'll be irrelevant, not only ourselves, and I actually think all ACC schools will be irrelevant if we don't figure something out. You know, in the near future. And so if I'm a board of trustee member at North Carolina or Virginia or at Clemson or at Miami, or if I'm an ex-player, which I'm obviously an ex-player at Florida State, I would be very concerned about whether or not my alma mater is going to be able to compete. So the athletes that I've talked to from other schools that I'll leave nameless, they get it. I think the fans get it. You know, the administration, on the other hand, at other schools, I think get it, but aren't necessarily willing to say it. And we felt like, as an institution and as one of the, we'd like to think, a leader in the ACC, that it was our responsibility to honestly just shine a light on the reality of the situation. And so we are not the only ones that are disappointed with the current agreement. I know that for a fact. And I know that there's plenty of other schools that realize that this is an existential threat, and they're trying to figure out, although they might not be as vocal as we are about it, they're trying to find a solution.
I mean, Drew, first of all, I appreciate your honesty, because too often in this space, we get a lot of double talk. And what you just said here is a profoundly chilling comment, but it's also the reality, which gives so much gravity to what you just said. What is next is the exit question here.
I think we're going to continue down. There's kind of a decision tree process that we have to go through. We've been at this for well over a year. And so I do believe that you'll be hearing more about this in the near future. I don't want to go into the details of what's next for the university and speak out of turn, but this isn't the last that you've heard of it. And I've heard you say multiple times that realignment is not done. And I think the thing that I'm most concerned about, and I think all college football fans should be most concerned about, is do we want to see another national championship where the score is 65-7, right? I mean, that's not real competition. And if you look, Georgia had 64 and 5 stars on their team. TCU had 15. I almost equate it to if an NFL team was to play an XFL team, would anyone tune into that? Is that exciting for anyone? I don't think so. I really don't. And so I'm actually not just worried for Florida State. I'm worried about the competitive spirit, frankly, of college football. Because I do think in the long term, we want as many teams to be able to compete on a level playing field as possible. And that's just not the case. That's not the case today. And every year that goes by, right, these media contracts have not earned themselves in, as you can appreciate. Every year that goes by, the SEC pulls away $35 million away from the ACC, and the Big Ten pulls away $40 million. That is chilling. It really is when you really think about the day and age that we live in. I also think what's important, Paul, and is often underappreciated, this isn't just about football. Look what's happening in basketball, right? The ACC used to dominate basketball. But in basketball, all you need to do is go pay one or two guys, and all of a sudden, everything changes. But it's also a lot of money that they're going to be able to invest into women's soccer and softball. And so we're not thinking about this as like a football, basketball, revenue generating sport problem. This is a problem for all of our student athletes and frankly for our institution. Because as you know, when you win, applications go up, you get better students, and there's a whole ripple effect of positive things that happen to the entire institution.
Drew Weatherford, former FSU quarterback and now member of the board. Drew, many thanks. I hope you'll come back. This was extraordinary.
I appreciate it, Paul. Thanks for having me.
Well, I mean, I'm just sitting here gobsmacked at some of the things that he said when a member of trustees at FSU just flat out said if something doesn't change, the ACC will be irrelevant. I mean, this is not some fan saying it. He mentioned an existential threat to this league. I mean, anyway, we'll take a short break. We'll digest it, get your reaction in a few minutes. Much more to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We are a week away from the first game of the year right here, Saturday a week. Hawaii at Vanderbilt. Billy is up next. Hi. In Philly. How are you, Billy?
Hi, Paul. I'm fine, thank you. That was a great interview you had. That guy is very articulate and helpful. I had two questions. How many dollars per year does that mean their teams are defective relative to the SEC? Yeah. I mean, what do they lose each year? He gives $500 billion is a lot. A million is a lot of money.
I'm not sure what – I didn't quite catch what – over what period of time that was, or maybe.
See, I don't know the difference, whether it's $39 million to $36 million to $26 million. Yeah. Exactly how much a year are you guys short? That's my question.
Yeah, so I think when the new contract goes into effect, there will be a differential of about $40 to $50 million a year.
$40 million to $50 million
a year.
So I guess
you multiply that times what?
Okay, that's huge.
12 or 14.
That's huge. Florida State, by the way, is the highest ranked college in the state of Florida. They're AA2. They can borrow money more cheaply than anyone else can.
Okay.
My second question, though, is I wish we'd been able to talk to him about what he expects from J.P. Morgan.
Yeah, I was planning to get in there until he just pretty much, gave the last rites to his league. I didn't know. There were a lot of. Yeah, I agree. But that's something I think we can get back to him. He certainly lives.
Yeah, I'm always suspicious of the last rites because we hear it in politics every day. It seems to me. And, here we go again. I mean, I'm not sure. It's a problem, but I'd like to know a little bit more about what the problem is.
I am far more interested than I was before the interview because I didn't expect. I mean, I expected him to state the obvious, but the way he couched it was fatalistic.
Mm.
Did he say that? I'm trying to remember. I need to go back. Did he say he didn't wonder if the league would even exist?
Yeah, I question all that. I'm not sure. I mean, I just have to know what they do with the money every year. I pointed out to you, I think, that the president of the University of Oklahoma made a very brilliant statement today in the Wall Street Journal. He said that we're one of the few schools that impose no burden on either the taxpayer or the tuition-paying student on our athletic programs. Well, that to me is the target. And I'd like to go with each of these schools to meet that target. Don't talk to me about the other guys for a moment. Let's just talk about you. How short are you? And what can you do about it?
Billy, I'll see if we, by the time we come back, I'm going to try to see if we can get some more information on that because you some fantastic questions. We head to the break. We've had a wild show. That last interview definitely was at the top of the of the cake. We'll be back. We'll head to Alabama later in the show. Right now, Baton Rouge is our next stop.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.